Hey, Songtown, welcome. I'm Clay Mills. I'm here with Marty Dotson.
What's up?
Today, let's talk about rules we like to break. And not just rules that we like to break, but let's just talk about rules in general.
Yes.
Because often I'll see in the comments below our videos, there'll always be someone that says, you know, that's what's wrong with music, you know, I break all the rules. I don't like rules that you guys are talking about rules. So I just wanted to clear something up. I never approach any of this as rules that people have to follow. These are all just tools. And you've got to use the right tools for the job. So one day we're writing a song and that tool works perfect. But the next day you're writing and it won't work at all. So it's up to you as writers, you and me, to learn as many tools as we can. And then we choose when to use them. You know, so for me, I don't even think in terms of rules because rules are meant to be broken. I think in terms more of, you know, learning tools that I can pull out of my tool belt when the job needs it, you know.
And I think, too, you know, when I was coming up as a songwriter, I was taught in several different places, you know, here are some songwriting rules you need to follow. You know, one example might be every song has to have a chorus. Well, not every song has to have a chorus.
Exactly.
You know, and so what I learned, though, was there's a reason those things usually work. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to break those rules, I want to do it on purpose. So the reason they told me your song always has to have a chorus is because if you look at the charts, 99.9%.
A rule will work. Like, you know, but a song written full of rules that work can often be boring.
Yeah. But
it's when you break those rules that can lead to interesting things, you know.
Yes.
But you have to know when and how to break them. If you don't have any form to your music, then, you know, it's just, what is that?
Exactly.
So every song, whether you think you're a rule follower or a rule breaker, you're all dancing around certain elements that a song is going to have so that people can hear it and understand it. You know?
And, you know, I was mentored someone recently and they said, you know, I wanted to write a song that didn't rhyme. Well, when I listen to the song, I'm like, well, I can't hang on to anything here. You know, it wandered melodically. Every line had a different melody. So there was no melody I could hang on to. And there was no lyric structure. And so what I explained was you don't always have to rhyme and you don't always have to, you know, have a different melody for each line, but you need to understand why some things work.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to break a rule, maybe pick one and break the rule. Don't try to break all the rules in one song.
I love that when somebody says, I'm going to write a song. Like, songs don't have to have rhymes. And inevitably, they'll bring up a song. I can't remember the title. It's by Paul Simon. And they'll go, look, that song doesn't have any rhymes. And I looked at it the first time, like, I see rhymes all through this.
Uh-huh.
There's inner rhymes all through it that tie it together. There are even some ending lines that rhyme. But there's enough rhymes in there that you don't hear it and go, what is this? You're like, you're pulled in and you remember it because there's enough rhymes to do that. So it would be very difficult. If you guys know of a song that has zero rhymes in it, I would love to see it because I've never seen one that works that has no rhymes in it at all.
I wrote one time and it never got recorded. Maybe it didn't.
See there.
Yeah, because of that. But what we found was rhymes give completion.
Right.
So the listener understands, okay, we just finished something.
Finished.
And we can move on to something else. And you can do that melodically. It's tricky to do, but you can finish phrases melodically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then move on to something else. So, you know, there are ways to do it, but understanding why it's there is super important.
Today, and sometimes not rhyming is like the last line of a verse. Like if you rhyme lines 1, 2, and 3, and then you don't rhyme the last one, then it feels complete, mm-hmm. you know? So,
yeah. So you know, what you have to understand is the point of that rule is that there needs to be places where there's completion and the listener knows we're moving on to something else.
Right.
So today we're going to talk about four rules we like to break. You want to start?
Yeah. So when I came from New York City, moved to Nashville, was lucky enough to get a publishing deal, started writing songs, and a publisher sat me down and he was like, no country singer can sing these songs. They're, you know, they're 2.5 octaves. Who's going to, you know, like be able to sing this? And I got the point. There were some, and there are today, singers that can sing a couple of octaves with no problem. But I think what he was trying to tell me is I was limiting my options. When they go out to play my songs for artists, having over a 2-octave melody in a song was hurting my chances of finding. But I couldn't do that. I felt like I like wide melodies in songs, and so I kept doing it. In fact, the first time I wrote with Darius Rucker, I had listened to some Hootie and the Blowfish songs, and I noticed there was a small vocal range. And so I went in, and I had a melody in my head to write with him that was like 1/8 and 1/9. It was almost 2 octaves. And I didn't care that he only did these few note ranges in the Hootie songs. I just wanted to write a good song. And what I found out, he goes, no, man, he goes, I can sing that no problem. And he could. I mean, he's an incredible singer. And I was like, well, why did those records have a small range? He's like, well, my producer really felt like he wanted to limit that to you know, he had a sound he was going for. And it's like, wow, that's interesting, because my songs with Darius were, you know, very rangy. He sang them no problem, sounded great on them. So I just like to break that rule. If I feel a melody needs to be big, I write it big, you know. And I do know writers that are great at, it's got a 5-note range and that's it. But I've never followed that rule.
Well, my first top 10 song was a Rascal Flatts song called While You Loved Me, and it had a huge range. And Gary Lox could hit it no problem. But about 10 years later, he said, man, I had to quit singing your song on my shows. It was killing me every night to try to hit those notes.
So, well, that is, yeah. So you can write it. You can write a wide melody, but just know there's going to be less artists that can record it. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you are the artist yourself and you can sing it, I mean, that's not even a consideration. But we have a lot of our audience that write songs and have other people sing them. So, yeah, but just make that choice and know I might limit myself, but I'm going to do my melody the way I want to do it and let the chips fall where they fall.
Yeah. So if you're going to break the rule, break it on purpose.
And yes.
Know what the consequences might be.
Exactly.
One of them I like to break, and people are going to say, I've been in mentoring sessions with Marty. When he told me this, is repeating words. Usually I tell people, don't repeat words, because sometimes it's just lazy writing.
Well, and let's make this clear. You're not talking about repeating a word over and over because it's your hook. And so you're repeating your hook, and that's done a lot, you know. You're talking about, like, if you use the word fire in the verse, well, don't use it in the chorus, or vice versa. If fire's an important word in your chorus, don't use it in the, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So like in Must Be Doing Something Right, if he, you know, if the verse had said something about being blue, and then I say there's a blue sky, and then I say deep blue needs you eyes, then it's going to be like,
yeah,
okay, enough of the blue already. Yeah. You know, that's not.
Because then when it does come in, it's not fresh. And I mean, yeah.
So that's the rule.
So be purposeful about repetition.
Right.
So you got an example, I suppose, of how you should use it.
Well, so today we were writing a song and we decided on the line, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Well,
It's going to rain.
Yeah. So we used that that repetition on purpose, and that can be fun to do, you know? So if you're going to look at your song and go, am I being lazy or am I being creative with my use of that? You know, so are all the blues connected and playing with each other, you know, working together, Or is it just I keep not being able to think of things to say, so I'm repeating these same words, you know?
Yeah, so I'm sipping on my black coffee in my black coffee cup, sitting in my black chair, and the world looks pretty black right now.
That might be too much. But, you know, one way I hear
definitely
it a lot
too much.
Is somebody might say, you know, you're the best thing in my life. I can't imagine my life without you.
Right.
You know, life is better with you in it. And, you know, it kind of gets to be like, okay, find different ways to say
find
that.
A different word. Yeah, because then it starts sounding like you're just repeating the same idea instead of coming up with new ideas.
Yeah. But that can be a fun one to break if you find an occasion to that it really works to do it. What else have you got? What rule do you like to break?
When we started teaching songwriting, inevitably students would start saying, what about prosody? And I didn't know what prosody was. I never heard the word. You and I have been probably combined, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 co-writes in our life, you know, more, probably more.
More than that, yeah.
In professional settings with Hall of Fame songwriters, producers, artists. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that in the real world of songwriting, prosody was never a word that we ever heard. Like, it, what is that? So I started investigating, and I read an article that talked about, well, this song, the music sounds this way, but the lyric, the prosody is not right. And I was like, oh, but that song is brilliant. Because there's sometimes, especially in a song, there was an old pop song, Pumped Up Kicks. Why are you laughing?
I just thought of something I'm going to share in a moment.
I'm feeling self-conscious right now.
It's not at you. It's nothing you did.
So there was this great song called Pumped Up Kicks. And the music was really happy, but it was a deep happy. But the lyric, when I found out what the lyric was about, it was about suicide. And I just thought about it, and I go, okay, they got their message by doing the music that way. They got their message presented to millions and millions of people that love that song. If they had done suicidal chords and melody with the suicidal lyric, mm-hmm. it may have not even affected one person other than the person that wrote it, maybe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would be too much to take. Yeah. Like, so sometimes you've got to do what the song calls for, you know? And so that song was perfect to me in the sense that it was handling a tough topic, but it was also did it in a way that it got into your psyche. It was memorable. I mean, it wasn't extremely happy, bouncy, but it didn't sound like what the lyric was, but it worked.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think sometimes people get too caught up in learning, oh, I learned in college that you've got to use prosody. And I don't know. If I'd finished college, maybe I would have known about that word.
I did finish college and I did not know about that word.
My dad was a college professor, so he's probably turning over in his grave that I still haven't finished college yet.
I have a song on that point that it's got one of the happiest melodies. It's like this piano song. It's like bouncy. And the hook is, the title is Happy Without Me. And the song is, I hope that you're not happy without me. You know, and it talks about getting, I hope you get run over by a bus, just a little bus. And all these crazy lines. Yeah. But the melodies and the track and everything is really happy, yeah. Even though you're saying all these hateful things in the song, you know. So sometimes that can be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
The next rule, and our final rule that I like to break sometimes, is to put my title in weird places. And my example is, you know, usually we think of
that
a title.
Made me chuckle. But, okay. Where exactly are you going to put that title, Mark?
In my ear. So typically we think of the title being the start of the chorus and the end of the chorus, or for sure just the end of the chorus, that kind of thing. But Kenny Chesney has a song called Knowing You, which is a great example if you want to check it out. But like it says, knowing you, you're probably doing all these things, and knowing you, you're doing this. And then the chorus pays off, but damn, it was good knowing you.
And so he twists it to mean something totally different
Yeah. But he uses it all throughout the song. Right. And so it can be really effective, you know. So
Aerosmith has a song called Pink, where they repeat the word pink throughout the song. Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be fun sometimes to go, you know, I know where you're supposed to usually put the title, mm-hmm. but let me explore if there's other places I can put it in the song, you know, make it work.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, guys and gals, we shall see you next time. Thanks for watching.
Cheers. Go break rules.
Break them.
Yeah. Got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
We should end this now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.